I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
It wouldn't be second to last episode of 2023 without leaks.
Leaky McLeakersons.
Normally, going into holidays, we wouldn't have shit to talk about. And we would just kind of move on. Now we got a problem.
Yeah, I honestly had to leave things out when normally I'm scrounging to get things in.
Yeah, normally Matt's like, hey, you want to hear about financials?
Yeah. This time I'm like, well,
hey, you want to hear about financials, but a different way?
And even the other stuff too, like a lot more like studio closures and other things like that. It's a week for Gamers 2 Podcast, your weekly roundup of news and commentary related to the video game industry and anything else that might pique our interests. You got any weird piqued interests this week?
No. Not really. I mean, like, I have peak disappointment. Does that count?
That's fair.
Does it count losing Yamamoto to the fucking Dodgers, who paid $1 billion over the next 10 years for two players?
Yeah, that was the funny headline I saw, which was, you know, the Dodgers spent $1 billion. All the other teams combined were less than $900 million or something like that.
Yeah.
The exact and wording, but it was...
Yes, there's a lot of things around the numbers and whatever, but...
Yeah, butter knife.
Yeah, butter knife and make it look like however you want. That was, you know, butter knifing is one of my favorite things in sports because I find it hysterical and stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But Jake had a butter knife take the other day where he's like, that something about that 2 million seems real fishy with yada yada. And I was like, it's not a 2 million hit on the cap. So, like, it, whatever. I don't really know what you want to.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? It's all legal. It's not like it's a question of if they have the money. So,
yep,
it's not going to be a question for 10 years when they start to pay $68 million, and then you go, what will they do? Do they restructure? Or do they whatever?
The low key, also questionable sports related thing that happened was the Saudis now own McLaren.
I did not see that.
Yeah. They bought the controlling stake in McLaren, which obviously includes the F1 team.
Yeah, because all my other sports stuff was spent fantasy football playoffs.
Yep, it's a big one.
And because I'm in the semis now, I think, in my one league. And then soccer and the sadness that is Manchester United, so...
What happened to them?
Oh, they're just playing like shit and being terrible. And clearly, I need to load up an FM24 save and lead them to glory to feel my normal sanity.
Yeah, that's fair.
Literally, the equivalent of the I can fix her or I can fix him girlfriend.
Yep,
that's just me looking at Manchester United like I can fix him.
I can fix you, baby.
And then I do it in Football Manager and I go, okay. This is the easiest job in the world in Football Manager. I appreciate my time. I'm leaving now. I haven't started playing 24 yet. I do have it installed, but I've had so many other things that I've been playing that I'm like, I don't really, and I don't have anything clamoring to me yet to start a save.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I know that I'm going to want to sit down and do it for a while, and I'm like, I got other things I want to play. So
the itch hasn't quite made an appearance yet.
Yeah, because I'm going to want to sit down for like a day and be like, I'm just going to play Football Manager.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think taking a year off was gonna, might do me good.
Maybe.
Kind of like reset the
urge. Maybe you'll get the itch next week.
Maybe. You never know.
Yeah.
Probably not.
All right. Guess not. Fuck me then. Damn.
Well, I just won't be home for, you know, enough of it.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. I mean, there's chances. Don't get me wrong. There's always a chance that I just like all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I don't know. 10 a.m. felt like a good idea to start a football save. And then you show up and I'm like, oh, we're doing this? As you walk in and I just have my notepad that I keep over here out just marking down like, okay, if we do this and if I move, if I buy, and just marking down all my future, all my notes that I take during Football Manager saves. But.
The old notebook.
But yeah, you want to hear about new releases?
I might as well.
How about a new release?
A new release.
Rough Justice 84.
One.
For the PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch.
Flying solo.
And then the fun part would be me to list out all the things that didn't come out this year. You know how long that list is?
Wait, we could do a whole episode on that.
I could do an episode of me just reading names. It would be 30 minutes. So. There was a quick like thing of, you know, games that were initially announced for like 2023. You know, stuff like Division Heartland and whatever. And I'm like, I'm not doing this. I'm not even cherry picking this list because it's too many games.
I mean, it's satisfying in a way that we, all year, we've been like, yeah, that's not coming out. Yeah, that's not coming out. Yeah, that's not coming out.
Oh, yeah. Matt and Nate's realism scale. Welcome to this game getting announced. Oh, 2023. Ain't no fucking way.
Nope.
Staring at Suicide Squad? Nah, absolutely not happening. Like, no, it's totally happening. And we're like, what? No, it's not. Why are you even trying? Just delay it now. Announce the release date, and then literally within 24 hours, delay it a year.
Yep.
Save yourself the time.
What are you thinking?
I'm thinking odds. Because, I mean, let's be fair, it was one game.
All right. I would say odds.
It wasn't a long list for me. And then I saw the formatting of your even thing, and I went,
finish that.
And I went, I am not fucking reading this.
Never finished it. All right. Never so fixed one, it. Yeah, go ahead.
Key Studios has acquired the multiplayer group from cloud technology firm Improbable for $97 million. Founded in 2018, MPG is known for its focus on multiplayer games. The company provides services in full and co-development and has worked on titles such as Fall Guys, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, Mortal Kombat 1, and Starfield. Which is a weird thing to think about. MPG's leadership team will remain the same post-acquisition. It's weird to have the name multiplayer group.
Yeah, I agree.
And then work on Starfield.
Yeah. That was a weird one. I had
97 million is missing a whole zero from me being excited, though. That's where we are with acquisitions and tech companies. You're missing a zero for me to be like really spicy about it.
I don't have like a frame of reference anymore. Like
I'm used to billions.
Yeah, it's hard to like. Now sometimes I'll see a figure and I'll be like, "Wait, is that a little or a lot?"
Yeah, and I'm like, "Oh, if I'm getting paid, it's a lot." But really, that doesn't take much.
Yeah,
you can be pennies on the dollar for what you'd give me a lot of money for.
Oh,
but yeah, I mean that's it's a. It's a bad thing, right? Because it's technically like rapid inflation and devaluing of money in an entirety like of a viewpoint for us.
Mm-hmm.
But to just be like, yeah, Blizzard Activision got bought for $69 billion.
What?
And then go, and that new truck is $80,000.
Actually, what did it for me? I can't
afford either one of them.
What did it for me the most recently was the article you sent me on Twitter about Microsoft buying land, which is in here. So we'll get to it.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
I was reading it. I
specifically sent that one to you.
Yep. I was reading that, and I was like looking at the amount that they paid, and I'm like, is that a little or a lot? Like,
yeah. So for fun, you want to if you ever want to have fun, as just, you know, you're a bored hobbyist. I don't know. You got nothing else to do at home. You're not even looking to buy a house. But you just want to have fun.
Yeah.
Go to Zillow. and just play Monty Hall. Like, listen, you got Christmas time is coming up, holidays, whatever. You're probably going to have family around. Have one person with a laptop plugged into the TV open up a page on Zillow and just hide the price. Show everybody images and then play over under on who can guess how much that house is worth based on what you saw, where it's located, and the amount of land it has. And I guarantee you, you'll never be correct, even close. So there's a Twitter account. I bring this up because you mentioned the Twitter thing and money and value, right? Housing market's already fucked. We know that.
True.
At least in terms of like values through the roof. So I guess would that be a seller's market, right?
Yes. Mega corporations buying homes market.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Buy homes, destroy them, put up apartment buildings, move on. There's a couple Twitter accounts out there. I can't remember what this one was. It might have been Zillow Diamonds or Zillow Randomness or something like that, where it would just find these listings on Zillow and post them. And they were like ridiculously styled houses, like circular ones or, you know, whatever. And this, the one that I saw today was a house in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
I believe, I can't remember if it was listed as a 4-bedroom or not, but it was on 4 acres of land.
Mm-hmm.
And it is in the land, which is to say that you can mow your roof.
Hobbit.
Kind of. It had a front door and a back door. So it literally was
as
just...
As do I.
It had... It, yes. And I'm not going to continue that thought process. But it had a true... Like, there was a porch. And so, I mean, it literally was just that you could mow the roof, but it still had a flat front entrance and then a flat back entrance with, like, a porch. And then there was a basement that had a walkout underneath that porch. So, like, it was all still just grass around it. There was no, like, patio at any point. But it was just this thing, and there was, like, it was weird architecture inside because it was kind of circular in order to make it fit, whatever, right?
I'm having a real hard time picturing
this. I know. It's terrible.
What's this website called?
It was just a Twitter account that grabbed Zillow purchase.
What's the Twitter account called?
I could probably find it later.
All right, I'll Google
There's
it
a few, well. If you Google Zillow on Twitter, I'm sure you'll find a few accounts that do basically this, where they just go grab random ones.
All right.
But the fun part of this is 4 acres of land, everything I just told you. It's not that big of a house, because I think it might have been maybe 2 bedrooms.
Zillow gone wild.
It might have been that one. And it might not be far down where you find one that's grass.
Oh.
Yeah. You see what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So do you see the price of it?
I haven't yet.
Okay, don't look for it.
Okay.
I want you to guess what the price of this is. And this is the holiday game I'm gonna play at some New Year's party, probably.
Okay.
It's old. It's got the pink bathroom, you know, it's got all the
I didn't look at there's no photos of unless that's also included, or is this a different post now? Might be in a different post. Yeah, I am. Okay.
Ah.
Oh, there's multiple posts about this house. Interesting. Okay. I'll have to follow that account. That's a wild one.
It's a fun one, just to every now and then just look at.
Yeah, in case you know you want to.
What do you think it was sold, or what do you think it was listed for?
All right, 4 acres, a weird house. Were the outbuildings a part of it? Because I saw some solar panels on some of the other.
I didn't see anything mention it. I didn't like go look at the listing either.
In this market, I'm gonna go 500,000.
465,000.
465,000. Okay. I guess. I don't know. I don't even know. I don't even have a frame of reference for what's good and bad anymore.
I mean, me looking at that, I'm like, that's $60,000.
You would think in some cases.
And they're like, no, what if you added a zero? And I'm like, oh my God.
Like, the problem now, too, is that land has become inflatedly priced.
Right, which I think is, you know, correlated, but.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just like. It's insane.
There's a plot of land for sale out yonder.
The one that was up for sale last year as well. Is that the one you're talking about?
No.
On the way up here? No?
No, okay. that one's always for sale. They're fucking always selling land over there. This one is between... it's past where the house was that we were talking about before. You just go further down that road.
Okay.
And on the left, it's between two plots with houses on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the person that's selling it. Or like the realtor, not the owner of the land. And I know who's selling it. I was looking at it and I'm like, it's gotta be, I can't eyeball an acre. Let's be fair.
Yeah.
I can't eyeball one. It's gotta be 3 acres.
Okay.
So like you could put a house on it. You'd be far enough away from the one to the left where you'd still have some privacy, but you'd be a little bit budged up on the one on the right. And the one on the right's not exactly a pretty house. So it's like, nah. Not great.
Yeah.
Not terrible. Not great. It's already like it's already lined with trees. It's not like you'd have to go in there and do a lot of bulldozing or anything. Like, it's already pretty flat in there.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, you could easily get that and then probably have a relatively easy time constructing a house if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just like, yeah. I haven't looked at what the price is on it, but I'm like, yeah, 3 acres. If it's more than 10 grand, I'm going to puke. And I have like a terrible feeling that it's 70.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's probably like 60 to 80,000.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I'm just like, why?
Yeah, it's kind of wild.
If it was like...
My pastime that I like to do is I'll look at these houses and these pieces of land and stuff like that are for sale. And then I'll look at the price history.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, like, you'll look at when it was, like, listed in 2020 or 2019 or something, and it's like, oh, you wanted a quarter of that.
The real kick would be to go start looking at, like, plots and then, like, modular homes, being like, what land size and this house gets me plus $200,000 if I was to just go buy it together somewhere?
Yeah.
Because that still goes back to the house that's for sale across from the gas station that is clearly cracked out and needs to be destroyed.
Yeah.
Somebody put a new porch on it.
That's so random.
They clearly put in new 4x4 posts and an awning off the front porch. And I drove past it the other day and went, why?
Maybe it was like collapsing and they just had to do it or...
Collapse the entire thing then. You already ripped everything else in there out.
Wild. I don't know.
Yeah. Whatever. Anyway, that's enough. That's enough.
Yeah. Moving on.
Pretty ranting.
Number two, video game music publisher Matera. I'm going to go Matera. Music has acquired Australian gaming record label Boss Battle Records.
I think you were right the first time, but.
Matera?
Yeah, there's an IA.
Matera, yeah, whatever. Founded in 2017 by Fabian Malabello, Boss Battle Records supports game composers and artists whose work... What was that over there?
That was Malabello.
Oh, okay. Whose work has appeared in titles such as Star Wars, Metal Gear Solid, Honor of Kings, Pac-Man, and Apex Legends. Music.
It's just material without the L.
I know. It's really messing with my brain. Matera, whatever. Fuck it. Records and Boss Battle Records have been in acquisition talks since 2019. Seattle-based Matera Music will expand Boss Battle Records catalog via physical media and merchandise through the acquisition in the next year, the new year.
I'm always curious with a place that's like a video game music publisher, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to get a gaming record label, Boss Battle Records. Like, just think about both of those things for a second.
Thinking.
That's not like a regular music label. That is specifically a video game music publisher and a gaming record label.
Yeah. That exists. Those are a thing, somehow.
It's like where a lot of places, you know, hire Bear McCreary. I'm thinking of God of War track at this point, and they do their own thing. And it's like, yeah, Bear McCreary did the God of War soundtrack. And you're like, okay. And then there's these guys that exist. And you're like, what the fuck? So I'm curious what the physical media merchandise ends up meaning.
Yeah, that one threw me a little bit too.
So, you know Mondo, right?
Yes.
Mondo.
Yes.
Printed the Star Wars poster behind you and the
Witcher.
The Witcher one over here and one my Spider-Man one downstairs. Yeah. And I need to get another one to replace that because that needs to get burned. It's also in like a $2 frame, and that was in my I don't appreciate art, and that doesn't deserve anything more than a $2 frame, but let's be honest. I need to replace At the time, yeah. Now, fuck it.
Now it's, you know, we should probably just roll it up and put it in a tube and let it sit somewhere.
I honestly might just throw it out.
No. Someday. You never know.
I do have a tube. There's two tubes over in that corner. I don't know if you can see them, that are just full of posters.
Yeah.
Including the Modern Warfare 2, 27x40. That Modern Warfare 2 one I really love because it is the cover of Modern Warfare 2 from back in the Modern Warfare 2 in 2011 or whatever. Yeah. Right? It's that. And on the backside was they did a Time magazine cover, like of that game's news era cycle kind of going on. And it just looks so cool at the time. Yeah. Still does. But I need to put up some actual. I haven't found anything that they've had recently where I've been like, yeah, that's really cool. But when I do, that's 100% coming down and going up there. Anyway, Mondo does vinyl sometimes.
Okay.
Where they'll do like the Last of Us vinyl or whatever, right? So they get, I don't know if they've actually done a Last of Us one. They might have, I don't remember. But they give you it is a record that is, you know, you can play it. It has the soundtrack from the game on it. The cover of the vinyl is all done up in their pretty art and beautiful, you know, nice quality, everything. Mm-hmm. And then I believe some of them, they also cover the vinyl. So like they do an art disc essentially.
Yeah.
And it's like, those are really cool. Like I would be so hard pressed to take the plastic off of those vinyls because I don't have a record player. Two, don't care to, if I'm going to listen to music, it's just more hassle for me because if I had a smoking jacket, a cigar lounge, and liked drinking bourbon on the rocks, then I'd listen to a vinyl.
I was literally having a conversation with people today about listening to vinyls, and because there's a guy at work who's an audiophile of sorts.
Okay, yeah.
You know, record collector and all that good stuff. So it's funny that we're having this conversation.
I just don't have the
passion for it.
Not the passion, because like I kind of like the idea of like getting a modern record player and being like, it's doing the thing. But I just don't listen to music that way.
Yeah.
Like even if I just really enjoy music, I'm going to go put on a nice pair of headphones that are noise canceling and just sit there. But I'm not going to, it's like the whole put a needle down, that's too much. But I really like the art that they do sometimes. I'm like, I'm never going to, I wouldn't want to take it out. I would want to just like leave it. And its prettiness, and then put it like on a shelf of, oh yeah, look at this one. Look how cool that is. All right, we're gonna put that back now.
Yeah.
And then I go into my head, what's the fucking point?
The only way I would listen to records is if I had a record jukebox. And I would preload it with all, you know, various records that I enjoyed.
Yeah.
So that they were ready to go and I just had to go boop boop.
And you get the good old arm comes out, picks it, sets it down.
Exactly.
Purposely audio built in scratch.
Yep.
So physically, it doesn't actually do the little click, but you do hear that.
Yep.
I don't want to say it, the world on fire.
There is something really satisfying.
The other problem, though, is I would immediately, like, my go to songs would just be all Fallout Record songs.
Yeah.
And it'd be really depressing.
There is something very satisfying about setting a needle down on a record.
Sure. Yeah. Oh,
all you big guy.
I don't know why that just
weird, right?
I don't feel right coming from you. Number three, James McCaffrey has died at the age of 65. The actor was diagnosed with multiple melanoma, a type of bone marrow cancer. McCaffrey served as the voice for Max Payne across its trilogy. Most recently, he voiced the character Alex Casey in Remedy Entertainment's Alan Wake 2. McCaffrey's non-gaming roles included appearances on TV series such as Blue Bloods, Bluff City Law, and She's Gotta Have It.
She's Gotta Have It.
There was somebody else, too, that I thought recently died. Do we cover them, though?
Not that I know of.
It was another gaming person, I thought. Or, you know, another person that's done work in games.
Lance
Reddick.
There was the guy from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's who it was, yeah. Yeah, the guy from
I can't remember
his name either, but the chief from Brooklyn Nine-Nine to pass it, and then this guy. So then I'm always in that, everything happens in threes, so.
Yeah.
Who's next?
Pick me.
You're not a celebrity. Sorry.
Oh, fuck. Got me. Number four, Tencent has shuttered Team Kaiju, a North American subsidiary of the Timmy Studio Group. The U.S. studio was established back in 2020. It had been working on a AAA multiplayer title and was overseen by former Halo and Battlefield leads Rosie Zagorcheva and Scott Warner. With the closure of Team Kaiju, the unannounced game project was also canceled. Additionally, as per their LinkedIn profiles, Zagorcheva and Warner have moved on to work at new game studios and projects. Another one bites the dust.
It will be named Team Kaiju.
That's, yeah. I mean, I feel like that should be a Japanese studio, but it's fine. Sure.
True, true.
That's fine.
Number five, the main time for our entire thing. A ransomware group has published 1.67 terabytes of content from Insomniac Games following a breach last week. As Cyber Daily reports, the Resida ransomware group stole data from the PlayStation Studio on December 12th. It put the data on auction for 50 bitcoins, or roughly $2 million at the time of sale, with a week's deadline before releasing the data.
Bless you.
Oh, excuse me. Earlier today. Some of the data was sold to an unknown bidder, according to Cyber Daily. The 1.3 million files included Insomniac's release schedule up until 2035, details of unannounced games, and personal employee details. It also featured a massive amount of information on its upcoming Wolverine title, including gameplay footage, level design, its plot ending, and its characters and cast. The breach revealed that Sony has reportedly signed an exclusivity deal on X-Men games with Marvel up until 2035. According to IGN, according to Polygon, documents relating to unannounced projects by other PlayStation studios such as Guerrilla Games and Bluepoint Games were also included in the leaked data. Now, I will say this before we go any further. Leaks suck shit. They are horribly illegal. I really don't want to talk about this too much. But we are a small enough podcast where we're not really giving ground to anything. Like, you know, an IGN or whoever constantly reporting on, hey, here's where you find everything. And not that IGN's ever said that, but there have been a few that have been like, here's where you can get the Wolverine bird. And I'm like,
yeah, we're not really going to talk about that.
What the fuck are you guys doing? So we'll give you the skinny and then mainly our opinion on it if anything changes. I mean, for me, let's put it this way. We'll go as recently as the GTA 6 leaks. Not the ones that were right before the trailer, but the ones that were like the year before. Remember when that footage got leaked to the guy like in the convenience store walking around and everybody's like, oh my God, is this real? And yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't give a shit. Any leak you're going to get is going to change by 3 months.
Yeah. The majority of what we're going to talk about is the inner workings of Sony more than anything else. And so.
Yeah. I mean, I'm annoyed that it happened to Insomniac because I've really liked them as of late.
Mm.
They've been doing a lot of good things. And, you know, really leaks just need to stop happening in general. However, hacks are hacks. Hopefully whoever did it gets punished.
Yeah.
But, you know, here we go.
Yeah. I mean, twofold issues. Better security. But also the repercussions for people who do this needs to be severe.
Yeah.
All right, let's jump into it real quick. We are going to cover the leaked roadmap real quick, because I do think it's kind of ridiculous. So Venom in 2025, Wolverine in 2026, Spider-Man 3 in 2028, X-Men in 2030, Ratchet and Clank in 2032, and then an unannounced IP in 2035. That's a lot of superhero stuff.
See, I saw you guys having this conversation about being a lot of superhero stuff. And let me put you in the spin, the no spin zone. Let me go back to Riley here real quick.
No spin zone or Devil's Advocate?
Weren't they the same? Essentially, depending on how Riley viewed things.
I guess from a certain point of view.
Devil's Advocate is more true. Because we're not putting spins on anything anyway. Venom, I assume, is going to be...
Miles Morales.
We knew it was coming no matter what, based on Spider-Man 2. But I'm assuming it's going to be Miles Morales in size. Mm-hmm. Because I just don't know how... Based on the way you play him in the game and the way that powerful he is and whatever, I really don't know what you do to make it more entertaining than a Miles Morales type game. Like, Miles Morales, I thought was cut short for what it should have been, or like could have been, I guess. But because it was just setting up the next one, I could see them doing the same thing where they do a Venom and it's just a little thing, and they kind of like where you play it to the point where you're going, that could have been a DLC. But it's like, it's just that it's just bigger than a DLC, but not big enough as a full game, and sets up Spider-Man 3.
Yeah. I mean, my assumption is it probably started as DLC, and they were like, wow, we got a little bit too much. We can do enough to
get out of it and be like, we'll sell it for $40. It'll do bonkers. People will be pumped, and here we go.
Yeah.
Wolverine, we knew was coming. That's been announced for a while, so that's not 2026. That makes sense. I mean, Wolverine was the one that they got the deal with years ago. That we've just kind of been waiting on. So that's nothing surprising to me. Marvel Spider-Man 3 in 2028. Again, I'm not surprised. The thing that makes me surprised is 2028 and me going, is that a launch title for PS6?
Based on rumors, yes. Well,
or is it a year later? Or do they do double launch? Like, it releases on the 5 and then it gets an upgrade to the 6 or whatever, because that's an 8-year window from when this current generation launched, which is about the time we start turning over.
So later on in the rumor roundup, we'll talk about this a little bit more in depth, but Xbox, based on rumors, Xbox is planning for 2026 and they want to be first.
Right, which makes sense, but they're also not doing a pro.
Yeah.
Because they're already in their pro series.
I don't know. I guess...
I'm in the rumors that they're not doing a pro because they're already in their pro series. Because the fucking... The Xbox is better than the Series S.
I think...
So they're in like that weird... I think we're basically about to not be in a two-step anymore.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get into it more.
But yeah, so... I could see that being a launch title or a launch year title. The Marvel X-Men, I'm kind of like, whatever. There's two things about that. One, they could be attempting to actually do Suicide Squad or like Justice League style type thing well. But they could also... It could also get canceled, and I wouldn't bat an eye. It's going to get based off of whatever they do in Wolverine. Mm-hmm. Or it would also be fun if they actually gave you remember the old school, like, Ultimate Alliance up to four player, like, co-op games?
Yeah.
Like, that would be so much fun if they were able to nail that with modern things. That'd be awesome.
I'm going to skip ahead real quick, because since we're...
damn it.
Well, no, it's not much to skip ahead, too. One of the big leaks was Spider-Man multiplayer. That was canceled.
Yeah.
But if you look at the concept art, I could very easily see them switching gears and turning that into what you're talking about.
And even then, it's still 6 years away.
Yeah.
A lot of things can change and a lot of technical improvements can be made to actually allow that to function much better.
Yeah. I think having seen these leaks and these roadmaps and stuff, I think that is the point. So I think they do these roadmaps and they're just kind of like,
I think they are as much as you wrote down a index card 3x5 and went this, maybe this year, and just shoved it on the wall. So that way, if they stumbled into any good decisions up until then, they'd be like, okay, we can pivot and move things around.
Yeah.
And then if they get to a point where we go, we don't really know what we want to do, like, okay, we have a bucket of story ideas here that we can just pull from and keep going.
Like, exactly. Like, I don't put much weight in these roadmaps. I think the roadmaps are exactly what you just described.
New Ratchet and Clank in 2032 is actually kind of wild, only because of how long it'll have been since we got Rift Apart.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a massive time between two Ratchet and Clank games.
Yeah.
I
kind of like
also,
that idea.
Also, I think it makes sense. I don't think they sell that well. But I think they are awesome when they come out. Like, that's the other problem.
Yeah, they're kind of like an iconic franchise.
And they're very good.
Yeah.
Rift Apart was great. Like,
I mean, I wish more companies did that sort of thing where they sparingly release.
Bench your IP.
Yes.
Hey, Ubisoft. Stop. and then.
Ubisoft, unannounced, just do the exact and then, opposite of what you're doing.
An unannounced IP in 2035. Okay, good news. Hey, I'd like to tell you when there's an unannounced IP in 2034, 33, 32, 31, 36. Unannounced IP in 35 is one of the worst things you could pull out of a leak.
They're just like...
They plan on releasing something. Okay.
They're like, all right, well, at this point, we'll just come up with something.
It would be more impressive if they said, absolutely no way are we doing a game in 2035. And then I'd kind of be like, what the fuck does that mean? Why would you ever write that down? Why would you purposely just refuse to do anything for a year?
All right, so before Marvel's Venom, Spider-Man 2 will receive a series of free DLCs, Beetle Invasion, Extreme Carnage, and Spider-Verse Anomaly.
Yep, and those all just make sense based on what you did in the game anyway.
Now we're going to get into like the behind-the-scenes stuff. Sunset Overdrive, Insomniac...
To be fair, Spider-Verse Anomaly could potentially just be a banger in general.
Oh, yeah. Sunset Overdrive, Insomniac's Xbox console exclusive from 2014, netted the studio $567. The title made a net $49 million. It cost $42 million to make, and then adding in marketing and other costs means the studio just strictly broke even.
It was a fun game.
There's some other leaks about the whole Insomniac IP, but it's basically just, I think Xbox has like the right to two sequels if they choose to option it, something along those lines. Resistance 4 was planned at some point and then canceled.
Again, not surprising, really.
Yep. And then we got a shit ton of sold through numbers, like hard numbers of PlayStation games sold. And sold through means they are in players' hands. Like they literally bought, like they actually bought them. They're broken up by fiscal year. This first group is fiscal year 2021, and it's predominantly PS5 games.
And this is to date.
Yes. Well, I think it's accurate up until it changes based on the grouping, but I think February of 2023 or somewhere around there. Okay.
So almost missing a year's worth of data. Almost.
Yeah. Like I think it depends. It's a year to 6 months in that range.
Okay.
Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart was 2.3 million. MLB The Show 21 was 1.6 million. Ghost of Tsushima.
And I'm almost positive that number is much higher in the later iterations.
Yeah.
Because they started putting it on everything else.
Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut was 1.4 million. Returnal, 866,000.
That's not surprising.
Uncharted Legacy of Thieves Collection was 329,000.
Also not surprising.
Death Stranding's Director's Cut, 210,000.
So the quick thing to note there. Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart makes sense. MLB The Show makes sense. I think that number went up. Ghost of Tsushima is that specifically the director's cut, not the original.
That seems high to me.
The director's cut?
Yeah.
No, because it's the PlayStation 5 upgrade.
Okay, so you think they're... Okay.
Yeah, that's where I'm about to go with this. I think that's what is included there. Returnal being 866K. One, it wasn't for it was a very pretty game, but it wasn't fully fleshed out as far as people were concerned for a roguelike. And it was one of the first ones that they were charging $70 for at launch.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people were scoffing at it.
Yeah.
Followed by Uncharted Legacy of Thieves Collection being $329K is almost more surprising to me, because if everybody that had PlayStation got it for free to begin with.
Yeah.
So who bought it? And then Death Stranding Director's Cut, well, again, I think because it's Director's Cut, I believe that's the PS5 version move. And listen, you had enough time to research Death Stranding at this point, and if you want to do Walking Simulator on PS5, well, that's on you.
All right, next is fiscal year 2020 games. We have Spider-Man Miles Morales at 10.1 million. The Last of Us Part 2 at 9.6. Ghost of Tsushima at 7.4. Demon's Souls Remake at 1.8. Sackboy A Big Adventure at 1.2. Predator Hunting Grounds at 778,000. Any of those numbers shocking to you or interesting?
I'm guessing Predator's number is higher because it was on PC, and I think a lot of people were playing it on PC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these are...
I believe it was on PC. I might be speaking out of my ass about that one. I'm almost positive.
I feel like it was.
Because that's why I believe like mm-hmm. Bruce and them were playing it on when they were all streaming it.
Yeah, I should mention, these do not include PC copies sold. We'll get to those later.
Miles Morales being the number one in there is as far as I'm concerned, correct. I would have thought Ghost of Tsushima would have been a little bit more, but only being off slightly by Last of Us is pretty good. Demon Souls being that high, Sackboy being that high,
the Ghost of Tsushima number I think we knew already.
We did. That's come out from Sucker Punch before.
Yeah.
But god man, every now and then I think back to Ghost of Tsushima and I'm like, it was so good.
I literally was thinking about it. Was it today or yesterday? I was like, I just want another game like Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's jump into what they consider catalog games, which are pre-fiscal year 2020. Spider-Man, 22.1 million. God of War, 20.8 million.
Which is the... also the 2018 version.
Mm-hmm.
Both great games.
Yes. Horizon Zero Dawn, 19.2 million.
Great game.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah. To be
a new IP.
A million off of God of War's Rebirth.
Yeah. Uncharted 4, A Thieves' End is 18.6 million. The Last of Us Remastered, 18.4 million.
I believe that.
This one kind of surprised me.
And the funny thing about The Last of Us Remastered, I fully believe that because that is them counting PS4 sales, which I think when the PS4 became so much more attainable for, even though if you look at the sales numbers, I believe technically at the end of PS3 and 360, PlayStation 3 ends up ahead at the end.
Yeah.
Like by month to month, like they were growing. But then they do the transition into PlayStation 4, and everybody that missed it on PS3 went, well, I'm just going to buy it for like $20 and go nuts. Yeah. And it was like, yeah, why wouldn't you?
It was
a good game.
There's two on here that really like kind of shocked me. And the next one is one of them, Gran Turismo Sport at 12.7 million.
I mean, it's wild. That's wild to me. It's just straight up.
Yeah.
That also might speak to the fact that there is not another Gran Turismo.
Yeah, it could be a time thing.
For like
thing.
10 years.
Yeah.
that was your only option.
Could 100% be a time thing. Uncharted Collection at 9.6 million.
Which is funny, given that the legacy of... is not even...
Yeah.
I don't know. It just...
Man. There was a trend. So there was a lot of charts, a lot of internal slides that leaked. And one of the grouping of slides was them tracking essentially franchises and their sales.
Mm.
And it was super interesting. It like just from like a quick little glance, it almost was like, yeah, doing these side games aren't worth it. The sales are always abysmally low compared to the main stories. All right, where was I? Bloodborne at 7.4 million. Days Gone, 7.3 million. Ratchet and Clank at 6.9 million.
Which is the 2015 one?
I think so.
Where the movie came out?
God of War 3 Remastered, 5.5 million.
Wild.
That is that's
between that and Sport, except Sport I could say years, but God of War 3 Remastered has got a
nostalgia, maybe.
Yeah.
Detroit Become Human, 5.4 million.
I still have so many fun memories of that too.
Yeah, that was
sitting on your living room floors, we're all deciding things.
Yeah.
And everybody going, "How could you possibly choose blah?"
Little Big Planet 3 at 5.3 million. Uncharted The Lost Legacy at 5.2 million. Infamous Second Son.
That's got to be pretty good for Lost Legacy.
Yeah, that is actually really good. Infamous Second Son at 5 million.
Launch title.
This is the one.
That's the only reason I think that's at 5 million, by the way.
Oh, yeah. This next one shocked me as well. Because look what's underneath it.
It doesn't shock me for, well, it doesn't shock me by its number. It's the one that after it that shocks me more.
Yeah. So Drive Club, 4.7 million.
Now, that doesn't surprise me only from the part that there have been a lot of people that I've run into recently. Not so much recently, but like over the years. Like I knew you were one of them when we played it back when it came out and everything. There were a lot of people like, yeah, it was really good. And again, I have the mix between what was your other option to race on PlayStation? You didn't have one. Mm-hmm. You had Sport, which apparently did bonkers, and then you had Drive Club. And I don't know if it was a mix of people also just pining for
I don't know, but a YouTube video came up that wasn't like a small YouTube video.
And people have modded it now, too.
And they're like, Drive Club had the best driving dynamics of any modern racing game.
I've heard that a lot, too, and I was just like, I never felt that. I felt like I was on a rubber band.
Yeah.
But that's a me thing. Connoisseur of racing games to truly know the answer.
You know what? I don't know either. We'll never know.
The world may never know.
Death Stranding, 4.1 million.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
It's one of those where I hear that, and part of me goes, man, really, 4 million people played that game? And then another one goes, only 4 million people played that game? For the amount that they were putting into it, and they jerk off Kojima? And then when you go, yeah, but what is the game? And you go, oh. Yeah.
Well, like, I feel like we're crazy. Because, like, we know.
To be fair, we are.
Yeah, but, like, we complain about everyone jerking off Kojima all the time.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a reason.
We are like, okay, we don't get the Death Stranding thing.
Yep, still don't.
And then we find this number where it's almost dead last on this list of PlayStation sales. But you would think if you didn't know, like, you would think this game was like up there with God of War.
Yeah. You think it did 15 million easy.
Yeah.
And
that's why I feel like I'm fucking insane.
Right. And I think the problem is that guess who loves him?
I mean,
like in general, who do you think loves him? And the answer is going to be in the way that, do you think it's critics or the audience?
Oh, it's a critic thing. And it's also like, it's one of those things where like the loud minority are the people are like, oh, he makes the best games, you know? Yeah, like,
and you get to you very quickly reach the point where if you saw an audience score versus a Metacritic score. And not just of, like, the score, because the game itself is fine, mm-hmm. but from an enjoyment level of, like, this is a piece of art that does blah, blah, blah. It's like, dude, if you talk to anybody that wants to play, like, a game, like, if you take your average game consumer, right, which is not us, well, it's actually closer to you at this point.
Yeah.
Because you don't play anything, but it...
Shots fired.
It's the, you know, I'm gonna be semi-ridiculous in how I say this, but forgive me for anybody that wants to cancel it. It's the person that comes home from work, child, whatever,
mm-hmm.
other responsibilities, and they're like, I maybe have an hour to 2 hours.
Yeah, it's the epitome of the casual gamer.
I want to turn my brain off. I'm lucky if I have 2 hours, and I just want to beat the shit out of some bad dudes and go to bed.
Yeah.
Well, what are you not going to do?
Walk around.
Literally wander around.
A baby strapped to my chest.
That, and the entire with time. With
fucking oil slick fucking Enderman following me
the
around.
The entire time just being confused. There's nothing that entices you to that game except for the fact that they're like, they got Norman Reedus in it. And you're like, I don't, what the fuck do I care? And then it's like, oh, I want to do some races. I'm going to get Drive Club.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to beat some people up. I'm going to play Second Son. I want to have an adventure game. Uncharted's pretty good about that. I want to solve some funny puzzles. Little Big Planet's pretty good. I want to beat people up more. God of War. I want to beat up robots. Horizon. I want to relive my days of old Ratchet and Clank. Ratchet and Clank.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/acast and use code acast for 20% off your first purchase.
It's wild. All right, last on the list was Until Dawn.
Like wait until this, not the same type of list, but like wait until you see the sales for the Metal Gear collection of like the remasters. And people have to have a hard realization that they need to not. But even those are edited in like a level format. So you could just actually sit down and be like, I'm going to play a couple levels, save, and be done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're thinking. And it's the same thing that's in my head. That new horror game might bomb commercially.
My thing with the horror game is that it's gonna be Death Stranding. It's gonna be like a game similar to Death Stranding, but I bet it'll sell better because it has so much fucking. It has way more hype going for it than Death Stranding does.
It needs to be closer to PT. Was
yeah, it's more approachable. It's like it's more, you know, it's PT.
People
will think it's PT.
Right, people will think it's PT. But when I say it needs to be PT, I mean like it needs to be that contained, not open nightmarish. I say open nightmares, open world nightmare where it's like, yeah, just wander around. Like, no. Put them in a town where sure they can just go in all these buildings, but like, dude, you've got to edit yourself.
Yeah.
If Jordan Peele does not rang you in, you're not having a good game.
For real.
Critically, best game of the year. Oh my God. Like, no, it's not. It's not even close. Some fucking indie game will come out with, it'll only be literal. A sticky note simulator where you write down a sticky note and then stick it on a piece of paper, and that'll be a more enjoyable game loop somehow. And the critics will be like, that's terrible. And everybody will be like, this is way more fun than whatever that is. And Keely will be crying in a corner when he has to give the award of game of the year to the sticky note game.
Oh, he'll rig it.
Just up there flipping cards until he gets to Kojima.
Until Dawn, 3.9 million.
Which is crazy that that's barely 0.2 away from Death Stranding.
Yeah.
Again, a fun gameplay loop in the same way that Detroit is, where you get to have that, like, oh, hey, dude, listen, it's like $15. Go play it. Enjoy this, like, movie where you, like, kind of pick the ending and you pick, where you make choices and whatever. And then we're going to compare and see what you did versus what I did. Who'd you kill? I want to know. Oh, yeah. Wild, man. Like, it's a fun conversation.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if you and I both played Death Stranding, the conversations that we would have had?
It'd be like, do you know what the fuck's going on? No, I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Dude, how did you, like, you know, you walked out of the base, right? And then you just walked for a while, right? Right?
How long did you walk tonight?
How many steps did you get in? How many steps did you get in? What was your step count at? Did you lose any ladders? What the fuck?
All right, let's
hit up. What's that baby doing? I don't know.
Let's hit up some PC sales numbers. Our Horizon Zero Dawn sold 3.3 million. Days Gone sold 1.7 million. God of War sold 2.5 million. This is all on PC, reminding. The Spider-Man Remastered sold 1.3 million. Uncharted Legacy of Thieves Collection sold 483,000. Miles Morales sold 450,000. Sackboy, A Big Adventure, sold 62,000.
Makes sense to me?
I kind of thought the numbers would be more, but it is, you know, it's...
Here's the problem. Yes. They would, if they release them the same time as console.
Yeah.
Because they wait so long, specifically like on the Miles Morales one, right? Everybody knows Spider-Man 2 is on the way.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be a lot of people that are just like, well, I'm just going to get that and, you know, I'm not going to buy this and then that. Like, I'll just wait. What's waiting, you know, blank 5 more months?
Yeah. All right, some more stuff. Any PC port that requires less than $30 million to develop only requires email approval to get funded. So you just gotta be like, hey, I want to port this. It's going to be $20 million. Execs like, go for it.
I wonder what that translates to.
Yeah.
Like, what game can you take and say, this would only take $20 million here? Like, what, you know... Like, it's Bloodborne 50, which is why it can't happen, but Hello Kitty Island Adventure is 15, so it just happens. Like, yeah. I don't know. I don't know what the scale of game is, or does it change, you know, is it how it's made, whatever, you know.
Yeah. An internal PlayStation strategic slide expressed concern that Microsoft will be able to leapfrog Sony's current pillars following the acquisition of Activision Blizzard. In the document, Sony admits Activision Blizzard will be a big strategic value, particularly when coupled with Game Pass. Sony sees the combination as a, quote, massive threat to PS Plus, end quote, expecting it could result in a $1.5 billion annual hit to the revenue Sony makes from their service. Sony also expects Activision Blizzard to give Microsoft a big boost in the PC, mobile, and live service markets. Sony admits that their PlayStation pillars are, quote, already dated, end quote, and behind the competition, but also says the perfect game subscription remains elusive.
I just like a quick summary of that entire paragraph. Hey, that doesn't look pretty good because our own house already looks like shit.
Yeah.
So that somebody built a new house nearby and that's going to kind of hurt us. It's gonna hurt. It's gonna impact PlayStation Plus. Okay, so make it not suck.
Yeah,
there's a quick idea for you. Don't charge for the first newborn of your consumers, and actually give them value in it.
Insomniac is actually under pressure from Sony higher ups to get costs down. Marvel's Spider-Man 2 cost around $300 million to produce, around 3 times the $100 million budget of the first game. Recent communications also indicate Insomniac is under pressure to keep their headcount down. Earlier this year, the studio projected it would surpass 500 employees, but in September, Sony issued the directive that headcount couldn't exceed 470 people. And later, documents from November indicate Insomniac is looking to remove 50 to 75 people strategically. Amongst all this talk of cost cutting, Insomniac mentions that other teams under the PlayStation umbrella are getting hit, and that, quote, there will be one studio closure, end quote. The leak includes a detailed breakdown of the Spider-Man 2 budget, in case anyone is curious. It's pretty interesting. Breakdown by, like, teams and how much, like, the headcounts were and how much each team costs and all this good stuff. Is there anything you want to say about
It's wild to me that it costs $200 million more to produce. And I do think that there are, as much as I love Spider-Man, it was so good. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man 2, I platinumed it. Everything in it was so impressive, from the fast travel to the movement to the flying to the combat to just everything felt so good that there was never a time where you were playing that, to me, I went, I want to put it down for a while. Like, I never had that. It was more of like, I'm going to force myself to take a break because I will sit here for 16 hours if I'm not careful. So I'm surprised it cost $200 million more. But at the same time, they clearly really polished it to do that. So is it $200 million of polish versus Spider-Man 1? I don't think so, but I think it's also the first time that they're doing a lot of the new tech things like that. I mean, you saw the fast travel thing where they all of a sudden fast travel, and there's not a load screen as much as you fall into the world flying where you set to go. So I think a lot of it was probably them developing new tools on new architecture to make things work. At the same time, I think there are missions and other things that could have been cut out of the game and you wouldn't have blinked.
Yeah.
Like why there were MJ missions at all, I don't know.
The thing that I left out too was that Insomniac higher-ups are afraid of how much the next game's going to cost to make. They're anticipating that their next game, I think they referenced it as like if they were to make Spider-Man 3, that they think it would cost $350 million to make.
Mm. Interesting. I wonder what they think Venom would face, because I think Venom can be cheaper.
Oh, yeah. I would hope.
The Venom's main thing is that you need good destructible environments.
iPad side to turn off. Sony plans to bring PS Plus to mobile, PC, web browser, and smart TVs, I would hope, and they should get moving on that.
They should have already had it, and I don't know what that means at the same time.
Yeah. And
does that mean you're only going to be streaming to your phone?
I don't know.
Random PlayStation games?
I don't know at this point. I don't fucking
like,
know.
Like, use PS Now to... Like, what?
I would assume that's what that means, but I don't have faith that that would work well.
No, neither do I.
Again...
Do it on PC, though.
Yeah.
Give yourself a PlayStation launcher on PC.
Yeah, honestly, PC should be the first fucking one
you'd
go to.
You'd kill. Put up a PlayStation store, PC launcher, that's all your marketplace, whatever, money.
Yeah. And then finally, there is just so many more leaks, so you could probably find something that floats your boat if you're into that sort of thing. We mentioned Spider-Man multiplayer that was canceled, but there's a whole slew of concept art, which is actually pretty interesting. And then there was a ton of slides. There was a slide comparing potential Days Gone 2 versus the potential of another Uncharted game. And it was like a cost-benefit analysis type thing. Yeah, all sorts of stuff.
Sony hates Days Gone.
They kind of do. It's really funny because the cost analysis is basically like Days Gone would be cheaper to make. Days Gone 2 would be cheaper to make. And it could be done in less time. And the Uncharted one was like, yeah, this is going to require way more people, more money. It's going to take longer.
They have a Kojima problem.
They do. They do have a Kojima problem.
Where they've perched Naughty Dog so high that they refuse to see the problems.
Yeah.
So let's talk about number 7, because I'm done with Insomniac now. Or, well, not done with Insomniac. Done with the leaks about them. Google has agreed to pay $700 million to Shohei Ohtani. Oh, that's not what that says. Has agreed to pay $700 million.
You just put a whole new angle on this, the both of those money amounts, like for those two respective parties. I would ask you to never do that to me again.
I like that you just never had even contextualized that for a second. Now you're like, wait a second. This is fucked up. Google has agreed to pay $700 million in an antitrust settlement with the U.S. state attorney generals. Among the changes being made to Google Play, Google will allow alternative pricing promotions and billing options over the next 5 years, as well as making users aware of competing prices on other apps. Third-party apps will be allowed to be installed on other stores for 7 years, and Google will let some apps, like Netflix, inform users of better prices without linking to an external website. Google also plans to streamline sideloading for developers, letting third-party stores use API for assistance. Google will pay $629 million to consumers that were victims of overpaying for apps and in-app purchases after taxes. $70 million will go to the 50 state attorney generals, attorney generals included in the lawsuit, and $1 million for administration charges.
I kind of enjoyed the monetary breakdown at the end, being like, this is how much each party's getting.
Yeah. And it's also what I've kind of wanted. So I'm okay with it. I kind of get what I want.
Yeah.
Still have your store, allow them to do whatever, help them out, and then just be like, hey, listen, you want to pay over here, you pay over here. But, you know, I'm sure they still have, like, the security thing where, like, if you want to play in our store, you still have to follow our security rules.
Yeah.
And we still want a payment option in there. But, yeah, you can link out to somebody else if you want.
Yeah. All right, number 8. Activision Blizzard and California's Civil Rights Department have reached a settlement over the latter's accusations that the company had become a, quote, breeding ground for harassment and discrimination against women, end quote. The CRD announced the agreement between the two organizations, which would see Activision pay just shy of $55 million to cover direct relief to workers and legal fees. Approximately $46 million of this total will go to a settlement fund for compensating workers affected by toxicity and discrimination within the company, primarily women who were employed or contracted by Activision Blizzard in California, between October 12, 2015 and December 31st, 2020. The agreement also states that Activision will distribute any excess settlement funds to charities that are focused on advancing women in the games and tech industries or promoting awareness around gender equality at work. The Call of Duty publisher has also agreed to retain an independent consultant that will evaluate and make recommendations in terms of training materials, promotion policies, and compensation, and it will continue efforts to make itself more inclusive for staff and applications from underrepresented communities. Activision Blizzard has also released a statement claiming the CRD has withdrawn all of its allegations from the original lawsuit as part of the settlement. I love that part. They made a point to be like, yeah, we're not admitting anything by agreeing to the settlement.
Yeah, yeah, all the typical legal.
Yep.
Well, I guess that's over until the next one.
Yeah.
Also seems like it was kind of a pennies type solution.
Yeah.
Knowing how much money these companies have.
Yep.
And how fucked it probably still is there.
Yeah. I think we do need to get, as a whole, a little bit more heavy-handed with the fines.
Yeah.
They got to see some B's in there. I don't want to see these M's. Millions, chump change. Throw some B's in there.
Or at least 3-digit M's.
Yes.
Plus 5.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be 500 mil or more.
Yeah.
Bobby Kotick.
Bobby. Good old Bobby.
Will resign after more than 30 years as the CEO of Activision Blizzard. In a formal announcement to employees, the executive said he would be leaving on December 29th. Merry Christmas. As reported by The Verge in an internal memo sent to staffers, Microsoft Gaming CEO Phil Spencer said, quote, the leadership teams for Activision Publishing, Blizzard, and King will remain in place with no changes to the structure of how the studios and business units are run. End quote. However, there will be a few changes primarily at the Activision Blizzard executive level. Spencer said that Activision Blizzard Vice Chairman Thomas Tipple, Chief Administrative Officer Brian Bulatow, Chief People Officer Julie Hodges, Chief Legal Officer Grant Dixon, and Chief Financial Officer Armin Zerza will stay through March in order to wrap up the company's transition to Microsoft. Spencer added that Humam Sakhini, vice chairman of Blizzard and King, will be exiting from the firm at the end of December. Meanwhile, Lulu Cheng Mirzaveh, Executive Vice President of Corporate Affairs and Chief Communications Officer, will leave by the end of January. The remaining Activision Blizzard executives, including Blizzard President Mike Ybarra and Activision Publishing President Rob Kostich, will report to Microsoft's Game Content and Studios President Matt Booty.
Interesting. A lot of shuffling. I like the decisiveness. They essentially lopped off the head of Activision Blizzard and then just slid it neatly into Xbox Game Studios.
Yeah. Oh, all these roles, you're no longer needed. Matt Booty, replace them. All of them.
You're in charge now.
Glad to see Bobby's gone. Good riddance. Also glad to see the only... I recognize the other names, but mainly was the chief people officer, Julie Hodges. Because I remember quotes from her during the hearings of harassment, where she was basically like, nothing wrong is happening here. And there were a lot of backhanded, terrible quotes coming out of her.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it seems like they literally just nuke the entire C-suite.
Yeah.
And then, which I guess there's probably no reason for the C-suite to exist anymore, because it sounds right. like Xbox wants to totally integrate them in.
Yeah, it's like, hey, no. Mm-hmm. This is ours now.
Yeah.
Take your shit.
Which, I mean, I can't... That kind of insinuates what we were hoping would happen, which is they're like, breaking up the entities a little bit. Activision's its own thing. Blizzard's its own thing.
Yeah.
King's its own thing.
Yeah.
And they all report to Matt Booty.
And I know inside of Blizzard alone, they promoted... we talked about this during BlizzCon, but when they started spinning up the idea of going to what I presume is an 18-month release cycle instead of a 24-month release cycle.
The WoW roadmap's in here.
Oh, okay. So what I presume is going to become an 18-month release cycle starting at the War Within. And in order to do all these multiple teams and all this content delivery faster and everything else, they promoted a bunch of people internally to new, like, team leaders. So now you have some of the people that have been there that are like, hey, you now have this and you're doing this for the team. And like, they're trying to almost containerize the workforce, I guess, is the technical way that I want to say it, where they just have teams that are very good at their thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, you're going to do this and you're going to do this, and we're going to put one person in charge of these teams, or like, you know, how to interact with these teams to get what their team needs to push an entire like feature forward and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it seems like it's going to, that they're in the process of doing a lot of streamlining to be able to at least print out that content in terms of World of Warcraft.
Yeah. Exciting stuff, to be honest.
We'll see in a few years.
Yeah.
Time will tell.
Number 10. A Wisconsin family has agreed to sell 407 acres of their land, which includes a local pumpkin farm attraction, to Microsoft for a total of $76 million. The land, which also includes the Land of Giants pumpkin farm and a 9-acre corn maze, neighbors another 641 acres of land purchased by Microsoft already.
So if you're doing the math at home, that is 1,048.
And that was from the village of Mount Pleasant. And that cost them $99.7 million. The end goal for Microsoft is to build a data center campus in the area, in which it plans to invest over $1 billion.
I'd love if they left up a corn maze somewhere.
If they don't leave the corn maze, I'm gonna be fucked.
Just like
pissed.
Build up this massive thing
and with
then
the corn maze,
and then just off to the side, like Field of Dreams style, just have like an entire amusement park that's just the corn maze.
So
and it's all Microsoft shit.
Here's my problem. You went the positive route. Field of Dreams, great cornfield reference.
It's the best cornfield reference.
Whenever I hear of cornfields, I immediately go to my childhood, which is watching Children of the Corn.
Okay, that's an option, yeah. Yeah, Signs is your other one.
Nightmare fuel.
Yeah, Children of Corn is not really great for a child.
No, dude, no. You know what else isn't? Hellraiser.
That's true. Signs has a cornfield in it.
Yeah, I've already told a cool story about Signs, watching Signs with the old girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you remember that story? It's a good story.
Yeah. But yeah, no, Field of Dreams is the happy one.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the obvious one.
Yeah. All right. You know what time it is.
A rumor roundup.
Multiple Elder Scrolls spinoff proposals from Obsidian were turned down by Bethesda because they said, and Nate quotes himself here, if you did this shit better than us again, we'd be fucking screwed.
Okay.
That's the only thing I can think where they're like, hey, can we do like another Elder Scrolls thing? And they're like, absolutely not. Because we're going to, give us 10 more years before we can actually get out the next one.
Yeah.
Just because you guys can sprint it and get it done quick. Bastards. You're going to make us look bad. According to a senior lighting artist, Arkane's Blade game will use Deathloop's and Dishonored 2 Void engine, which, you know, just makes sense.
It does.
The next Xbox will be released during 2026 and will be powered by a Zen 5 CPU and not by a Zen 6 CPU, as the 6th iteration of the Zen architecture will not be ready by then. Microsoft is planning to release the next generation Xbox earlier than the PlayStation 6. The hardware may be less powerful than the competition, but this would not only make it cheaper than the PlayStation 6, but it would allow Microsoft to release a more powerful hardware revision down the line if they decided to go pro.
Yeah, that seems to be the whole point of the article, was that the rumor is Microsoft's philosophy for the next Xbox is they want to rekindle the Xbox 360 generation. So they want to be out first. They don't care if it's less powerful as long as it's cheaper.
Yeah. Here's my kick for them doing that. If that's what you want to rekindle, you still have to be more powerful than your Series X.
Yeah.
You have to not do what you did now, where you release the S and the X, and the S is less powerful than the Xbox One X.
Yeah.
And technically, an old generation is a step in between. You can't do that. You need to be more powerful to still force everybody forward, but maybe not as powerful as possible.
Yeah, I mean, I do think this tactic is better than this. Is obviously better than the Series X tactic, yeah. Because they kind of shot themselves in the foot.
Again, me, Phil Spencer, Matt Surway, and Matt Booty in one room, we solving all the world's problems in gaming.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome. Can we buy Ubisoft? Phil, I got an idea. Buy and make me head of Ubisoft.
What's interesting is they can. They can never buy Ubisoft now.
No.
Because of the fucking streaming rights thing.
Or it's the best way to buy them. Oh, hey, you're managing our publishing? You want to do it anyway, in-house? Here you go.
That would be wild.
That would be a whole other lawsuit that they would never be allowed.
Yeah. That's kind of wild, though, because, like, what if Sony tried to buy Ubisoft? Like, would that be a regulatory thing?
It would probably have to be written in such a way that they're like, you also still can't show favoritism to blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Like, hey, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe in getting signed into this, did they save their independence until they crumble?
That's what I was thinking. Or you know what it is? The people who are going to buy Ubisoft now is the Saudi gaming fund. They're going to come in.
What if GeForce? And, what if NVIDIA does it?
And, oh, that's wild. That's a wild one, actually.
Or Epic.
Epic would make a lot of sense.
Epic, they already have partnership with.
Epic would make a lot of sense. NVIDIA would be wild, but I would be like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's light the world on fire. Let's see what happens.
NVIDIA already tried to complete ARM, and the ARM transaction is
not
four times the amount of money they would have to pay for Ubisoft.
They could buy Ubisoft and like,
they'll still buy ARM later, but
yeah. Oh, NVIDIA is like an Apple like level now, where they're just like,
they don't have that much money but.
Yeah, but they're getting there. They just drop cash and just be like,
they walk into the courtroom and they're like, no, this is the money I was gonna hand them.
Yeah,
can I not do that? Staring at the judge like, do you want a stack?
And the judge is like,
I just cut half this pallet off and give it to you.
There's like, half this money came from China.
And do you like money, sir? Ma'am? Tom Henderson has said that the Call of Duty 2025 is currently in development and as a direct sequel to Call of Duty Black Ops 2, being set around 2030. Hopefully they do actually take a year and, you know, take their time.
Yeah.
And hey, there was the WoW roadmap got released.
Yeah.
That's not in Rumor Roundup. Never mind.
It's not. I'm going to fucking tell you about it right now, though.
Shit.
All right, 2024 roadmap.
It's a pretty loose roadmap.
It is very loose.
I'm a lot happier that now they do these roadmaps because now you can actually have an idea of, you know.
Yeah.
If you're somebody looking at WoW going, well, you know, kind of, what do I want to do? What do I want to do?
Seeds of Renewal, which is going to be a winter.
Dinner's the winter time. Yeah.
Well, that's, no, that's out now.
Yeah, this
okay.
winter.
Okay, yeah. I'm just making sure that that's what we're talking about.
Yep.
Or I should say that is mainly out now. I believe that is not out now. That is technically winter of 24. So yeah, that is January, February. That's when the 0.5 patch drops. I forget we're in 0.2 right now.
Yeah, we're 10.2.5.
Yep.
I don't know why. I don't know what that means. There's like a death flag as 10.2.6.
I'm assuming some pirate bullshit.
Okay,
nobody pirates. They haven't said a damn thing, and everybody's just like, "You doing some pirate things?" So we've been guessing pirates for. We thought the next expansion was potentially going to be pirates because there's been a lot of pirate things showing up and like data mined and whatever, and then there's just this, and everybody's like,
"What the fuck's going on here?" Spring brings season 4. Dragonflight Raids Revisited.
Yeah, this is all just bullshit. So
PvP season, Mythic Plus season, open world rewards.
This is where everybody's going to be like, cool, we don't care. Because
Darkheart 10.2.7, Time Running.
So this is the interesting thing. So Time Running Pandemonium in...
Do you have it pulled up?
Yes.
Okay, good. You're the wild person. You can do this.
In Time Running Pandemonium, none of this has been detailed is the problem. This is the most detail that we have.
Yeah.
So everybody's guessing, right?
Yeah, of course.
Time Running Pandemonium. Back in Pandaria, they had a thing called Challenge Mode Dungeons.
Okay.
That was like an early precursor to kind of what Mythic Plus would kind of be.
Mm-hmm.
Except in Challenge Mode Dungeons, you were at a set timer and gear was equalized. And it was just how fast you can go. It was at a set level. Get it done as fast as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got, for completing them all or whatever, you got a certain armor set, like transmog visual thing that you cannot get anymore. They left the game when challenge modes went away after that time.
That sounds cool.
So the thought is they're bringing them back during this like event that there will be a challenge mode-esque thing again. I'm hoping they do what they did similar to, people are going to complain about this, but whatever, they're WoW players, so they're already obnoxious. When they did the Legion time walking like 2 years ago or whatever it was, maybe it was more than 2 years ago, it might have been the last expansion, and they added Legion into time walking so you could do the Mage Tower again, which got you certain transmogs for doing a difficulty level thing again, and you could go back and do Legion Mythic Plus because you get specific keys to do that and still do the current season or whatever, right? What I'm hoping is that they're going to just have this open for like a month or something, and then every time that Pandaria comes up in time walking, that is also now available or something. Like they're going to, or whatever they do, just to like keep it kind of always recurring again, but maybe not have it open permanently.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
Interesting.
You want me to just keep going through this?
Yeah, sure.
Harbinger quests, don't know. Troll and Draenei heritage armor, that will be interesting. So the way heritage armor works in the game is you have to have a character, so like a troll, right? That from the existence of that troll's time has to have been a troll. Because you can do race changes.
Yeah.
But you can't race change into a troll and then go do the quest because you need to be exalted with the race and be level 50 or 35. I don't remember what they changed it to. I think 50. And then you get this quest to go get like specific looking armor that only trolls can wear once you've completed that. So it's basically you're loyal to being a troll. Now go get the troll heritage armor.
All right. I like it.
So that and horse people Draenei will get one too. There will be a new holiday event. Don't know what that's going to be. So we'll see what that is in the spring, I guess. War Within beta starts at the same time. Then we do the pre-patch in the summer. which brings in war bands, which is the thing I'm most looking forward to. That's when they start going to that cool loading screen with your characters, and they start making your whole account one big thing. And I'm like, yes, give it to me. And I'm happy that's a pre-patch item, because that gives everybody a lot of time to kind of clean everything up, get used to it, and get ready to go in. New world events, obviously, which will probably be great leveling. Dynamic flight comes back to the old world, so all that new speed flying is now going to be in the old world stuff. Guilds getting updated and modified for how war bands and everything else will work forward. And then in autumn, well, between summer and autumn, which is a very interesting timeline, because this tells me between summer and autumn, you're looking at like a September release date.
Mm-hmm.
Based on where that banner is,
yeah,
and the word summer and autumn. So I'm thinking like a September release date, right? So here comes the new campaign story. The expansion comes out, Delves, Hero Talents, the Earthen come out, all the, you know, typical expansion stuff. And then looking at the 0.5 update in autumn. So a September release with an October early patch, or a September release with a November early patch, one of the two.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my guess.
I feel like, so that... I feel like
September release is BIS, just for the record.
Is what?
Is BIS, best in slot. That's where, like, where you want to be. Because
okay, that doing, was what doing that was the, what I was going to say was I feel like recently a lot of stuff has released in later and like November
and right. October and, would also be okay.
But September to me seems ideal for WoW because you don't really
you can't
WoW
run
players
in, you can't run into holidays.
No yes. Way. WoW players, in my eyes, you are like the quintessential WoW player where like you always play WoW, but you also play.
I've got a badge of honor somewhere that says that, the quintessential WoW player.
But you also play other games and big game releases.
Yeah.
So like having a WoW, like either a big WoW patch or an expansion releasing in November is like a pretty big inconvenience for you.
It definitely can be. I gotta start a Football Manager save. Like, what the fuck? I can't be rating.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like so, like
especially next year with Football Manager 25, we're going to a new engine. Mm-hmm. I got priorities.
So you stick it in September, and you're probably frothing at the mouth at that point because you can play WoW for like a month or two.
For the most part, I also know there's a bunch of things coming out next fall. But yes, it's September, which still gives you the most time to like. I don't care about playing over holidays
mm-hmm.
because. I'm not competing in the race to world first, so I get to just still enjoy my time.
Yeah.
Playing it like my house mm-hmm. or whatever. There you go. Maybe I'm missing a day or two or whatever. But the guys that are like pushing up against Christmas doing all the raid and not allowed to spend time with their families, or they're doing this raid, did the raid over Thanksgiving. So they did like a whole Thanksgiving feast while they were at the raid. Like there was a bunch of stuff like that where let's just move it forward and not have that be a thing.
Yeah, putting it in September, I think it just lets literally everyone enjoy it more.
Yeah. October you can get away with too, but it's nicer just to do it in September.
Yeah.
Like right after Labor Day or right before if you want to be real nutty.
All right.
You either go right before Labor Day and get that Monday off if you're depending on your work. I know not everybody gets that day off. But you either do it then or you do it right after. And then that still gives everybody like, hey, this is out. You got a couple weeks to get leveled up, get gear. And then we start doing the raid and we start going.
All right. That'll be cool to see. Now for the questionable things that we didn't write full paragraphs on, but some of them are pretty long. So suck a bitch. PlayStation will no longer be removing over 1,300 Discovery TV shows from its platform next month due to an updated licensing agreement.
Due to a bunch of people bitching.
Yep.
And threatening to sue them, probably.
This next one, I could have stuck it with the Blizzard stuff as well, but I didn't. But Microsoft has appointed Jill Braff as head of Bethesda ZeniMax Studios. Formerly a consumer research manager at Nintendo and director of marketing at Sega, Braff was currently serves as general manager of integrations and casual games at Xbox Game Studios. Her movement was included in with all the other executive movements because it was, I guess, a part of the
Makes sense.
Of the puzzle. This one's interesting. Microsoft will be removing Windows Mixed Reality in a future operating system update. The decision includes the Mixed Reality Portal app, Windows Mixed Reality for Steam VR, and Steam VR Beta. Kind of sucks, but no one was probably using it, so. The 18-year-old responsible for last year's GTA 6 hack has been sentenced to an indefinite hospital order. A judge said that GTA 6 hacker posed a high risk to the public. A mental health assessment found that they, quote, continued to express the intent to return to cybercrime as soon as possible, end quote.
And I believe they were also hacked while in police custody.
It's fucking amazing.
I think they were in like a motel or something under police surveillance or police custody, and that's when they still performed the hack against Rockstar.
That's amazing.
And so it's like, yep, I believe the term is hospital prison.
This next is a shocking number. Human Fall Flat has shipped 50 million units since 2016.
Good.
That's a big fucking number, and they deserve that.
Yeah. The game is awesome.
It is. It's fun. It's awesome. It's very accessible.
Two? Can't wait.
Yeah. We never played all of the first one because they released a shit ton of additional content.
We didn't play the most recent stuff.
Sea of Stars has seen 4 million players in 4 months, which is also pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Versus Evil announced its own closure on social media, and head of production Lance James confirmed that the indie publisher's entire team has been laid off. Versus Evil was founded in 2013, acquired by Tiny Build and its QA studio Red Cerberus in 2021. Versus Evil's first major project was the Banner Saga. The company went on to help publish a variety of titles.
I remember Banner Saga.
First Contact Entertainment has announced its closure. The LA-based studio shared a statement on social media citing a lack of support for VR within the industry as the main reason for closing. Twitch saw a 3% decrease in viewership for November. PS5 has sold 50 million consoles worldwide. It achieved the feat on December 9th, 2023, which means the PS5 is tracking just 1 week behind the PlayStation 4.
Doing good.
22 Cans has pulled Goddess and Goddess Wars from sale on Steam. The company attributed the removal to an upcoming technical change to Amazon Web Services. The UK's Competition and Markets Authority will resume its investigation into the mobile browser and cloud gaming sectors on January 24th. The probe was held back in May due to complaints from Apple and Google and a disagreement with the UK's Competition Appeal Tribunal. Activision Blizzard is ending its hybrid work model for QA staffers next month. QA workers were advised of the decision on November 30th. Activision Blizzard will offer severance to employees who end their employment due to the new mandate. According to a new infographic shared by Bethesda, Starfield has been played by 13 million players. The average playtime per player is around 40 hours, which is very hard to believe. But that seems really high.
I can see it. I mean, the averages, I believe that was compared. You don't have the comparisons, right?
I don't have the whole thing.
There are other ones that you're like looking at Cyberpunk and yada yada, and it's like, yeah, the averages around there are like 47, 40, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And like 40 makes sense to me for what I stopped at 20, but I wasn't even. If you got derailed at all in that game or did whatever, like I could easily see 40 being the average because I can see people either getting to 40 and stopping or being like some people, they're like, I spent so much time in this game. It was ridiculous. And I still don't either feel like I scratched the surface, or I know some people played multiple playthroughs.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm like, what's wrong with you? What do I not understand?
Death Stranding's iPhone and Mac release has been delayed to 2024. I must have blocked it out of my mind that it was.
I didn't even hear what you said.
Perfect. Bloober Team, the studio behind Silent Hill 2 Remake and The Medium, has announced it has signed a deal with Skybound Entertainment. The only details known is that the Bloober team will develop a new title on the IP owned by Skybound Entertainment. The title is codenamed R and is expected to launch in 2025.
Yarr.
And that be it.
It's been 7 days. You got anything else?
Not really. Still chipping away at Simrig. Ordered the seat. Acquired the seat. Ordered a seat slider. Because that seemed like a good idea. And then I will be, you know, assembling it, the seats and all that good shit, probably this weekend.
Can't wait.
The plan is to get it in a working order. I took the week after Christmas off, as did you. And, you know, the plan is to set it up, tune it, you know, get all the settings all
bleh. I can't wait because the moment you have it ready and that you're like, dude, let's race against each other, I'm signing up to PlayStation Plus and we're going GT.
I
mainly because I don't want to go get my racing wheel and bring it up here to get a setup running.
Yeah.
Actually, wait, is Assetto on PlayStation? It's not modded, but
I don't know if Assetto is. ACC is.
I know ACC is, but if we're gonna race on ACC, I'd rather just race on GT. Mainly because I already own it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll figure out something about that.
Yeah.
Everything for me has been the same. There's nothing really to talk about. It's been more WoW, more... did we talk about the fact that I finished Alan Wake?
I don't remember.
I don't remember if I finished it before last week or if I finished it last weekend.
I think you finished it last weekend.
Okay. So that has been complete. Alan Wake 2 has been completed. No, I finished it before. Because talking about how I got hit with the new game stuff to like do the DLC or whatever. The new game plus that had gotten announced or whatever. And I was like, I don't want to go back through for the couple things that changed for like the extra story beats or whatever. But either way, still, I can't recommend that game enough. Probably going to be my game of the year, which we will discuss in our final episode of 2023 because we got one more to go.
Yeah, that's going to be awful because I have literally no contribution.
I know. We'll figure out something to do. We might do something stupid. You
do your genuine game of the year, and I'll just do game of the year. Like, all of my decisions will be based on, like, my reading of the industry, essentially.
It'll,
like,
it'll either be that or what would be really funny is you blindside me with categories and I have to just
random.
And I have to just come up with a game that wins that. Just, but it's just like
game with the best use of the right joystick,
right? Just just arbitrary things where I'm like, Nate's entirely made up Game Awards of 2023. Or just, you know, we'll come up with a dumb tier list or silly quiz or something to do because it's just the end of the year fun episode.
Mm-hmm.
And tier lists are always entertaining for us.
Always.
But yeah, that'll be, it's been that. It's been the show, end of the year brigade. Working my way through Like a Dragon Gaiden. I think like a midway point.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in chapter 3. I think there's only 5 chapters of like the main story, not counting all the it's Yakuza, so
tons of side stuff.
The books worth of side stuff. Yeah, we will we'll see here cuz I'll have I got the week to kind of catch up and do a lot of other, don't want to get behind but also still want to play a few other things. Just like small things, like closer to like hobby games of just, I'm gonna play some Marvel Snap and like,
yeah,
whatever. But yep, so that's all we got. Then we will see you guys for one last episode of 2023 next week. Toodaloo, bye bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.